And the background music there of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 537 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading of 25 degrees right now. Bright sunshine in central Minnesota. Don't let it fool you. I was just outside just a couple minutes ago. It's still a little chilly out there. You bet. Sun looks nice looking out the window, but still, wind is cool. So if you're out there on the lakes, probably need to pull that house over the top of you because it's going to be a little breezy standing out there fishing on the ice. But anyway, good day to sit by the radio, pull up that cup of coffee, and listen to our Musicians Come and Play program. And we have our guests in the studio right now. And as soon as our theme wraps up right now, we're going to say good morning to them. And there we go. Larry Razavi wrapping up right there, our theme, Musicians Come and Play. Time for our 537th program. And we have our guests in studio. We have Al Cullough and his wife Margie here. And we say good morning to you guys. How are you doing?
Good morning, Si.
Yes, wonderful. Good to have you here. And you've been here before, and we're going to talk a little shop today, a little bit about the good old days, you bet.
Yeah.
And are we old enough to talk about the good old days?
Well, we can talk about it, and probably a lot of people nowadays will know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, boy, you go back to the days you were Tony and Betty's first student, huh?
Right, yes.
Okay. Born and raised where, Al?
Avon.
Okay. And who was Mom and Dad?
John and Rose Cullough.
John and Rose Cullough. Okay. You the oldest one of the kids?
Oh, I'm about fifth.
Fifth, right in the middle of the pack, huh?
Right in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anybody else take up instruments in the family?
No.
No?
Well, my brother Ed played guitar.
Oh, he did.
In fact, when we started playing, we used to go to a little place called Cecil's in St. Cloud.
I remember that. No, Hero Boys, Cecil's Little City.
We played there for a while when it got started.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he went into service, and then after he came out, he went to work and went different areas. So he started working for Minrod then, way back then.
Okay.
In the construction business.
Sure.
So he was there for, I think I talked to him yesterday, he said 42 years. So.
Oh, really? Wow.
So he didn't have time to play guitar.
Okay. So how old were you about when you got started playing concertina, Al?
Geez, I'm trying to think. It probably must have been 22 or better.
Not a teenager anymore. You were past those years.
I got out of high school. Must have been about 18, 19.
18, 19, somewhere in there? Yeah. Okay, okay. And you knew Tony and Betty already at that time?
No, I never knew them.
Never knew them at all, huh?
Until they had their display at Richmond's.
Oh, okay.
The Gil Styles Bars, which is Corky's now. Corky's Bar in Richmond.
Okay.
That's where they had the first display.
Okay. And you went to it, and you thought, boy.
Well, my brother Lynn went along with it. He had an old accordion.
Oh.
So he was in the army in Germany. He brought home a new accordion along with him.
Okay.
And he said, let's get rid of that old accordion and buy you a concertina. But Tony looked at that thing. No, I don't want that.
He didn't. Okay.
But he says, I'll do better than that. He says, I'll give you this little concertina. And he says, it's a concertina, you rent it for $5 a month or $75 if you want to buy it straight out.
Okay.
I says, well, I says, I don't have the $75, but I says, I have the $5.
Yeah.
Well, he says, that's how it'll work out. You take this little concertina home and you practice on it.
Okay.
So I brought that home and everybody laughed when I brought it home. What are you going to do with that little thing?
Yeah.
Well, I says, I'm going to putz around with it and see what happens.
Okay.
So from there, that's what developed.
That's how it went on. Okay.
And he said, Monday you come down and have lessons. Uh-huh. Monday night. And so I went down Monday night, the first night, and I went down there on a Monday, and he sat and played a little bit, and then he showed me a few things to do and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And, well, so then he says, come back next Monday, he says.
Get another lesson.
Get another one.
Uh-huh.
But he says, the way you're coming along there, he says, I don't think you're going to have a problem playing concertina.
Oh, yeah.
He says, in fact, he says, I ain't even going to charge you a dollar.
Oh, really?
No, he did get the first dollar.
He got the first dollar, huh?
Second time we went down there. Then he says, no, he says, you don't have any problem.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. And you guys became really good friends through the years then.
Oh, yeah. We went fishing, hunting together after that.
Yeah.
And I went to a lot of their displays.
Yeah, they had a lot of them back in the days.
They started out, they were all over.
Oh, yeah. It was back in the 60s when I was taking lessons from Betty. So I would have been in second grade at that time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember those. And, boy, they had some snowstorms. It had been like today. This was usually the last Sunday in January. And I remember a couple of them. Boy, the snow was over the boots. It was cold.
But they had them.
Yeah. And they attracted good people, too. Yeah. The Waters and... who were the other ones that all came? Frank Gonzalez and...
Frank Gonzalez was a music... He wrote up music in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
He's a guy that... when the Sixth Fat Dutchman came to the Coliseum, and he would bring his music out, and from 9 to 9:30, the band got his music to play.
Oh, really?
And Harold Offenbarger sat with us in a boot across the floor.
Oh, really?
He sat and he listened.
At the Granite City Coliseum.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he says the first half hour, that's what we do. He says the people aren't here yet.
Right.
He says we get all these new arrangements up, and that's what we do. And that's the way we keep practicing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If the number sounds good, I'll take it. If it don't, well... You can go write another one up.
Oh, those are wonderful times, yeah. That Coliseum, I wish it was still there yet today.
Yeah.
They could put a car lot on a different piece of property, huh? That's where I met my wife, Janet, was at the Coliseum, and a lot of people met their spouses at the dances back in those days.
That's where everybody went on a Sunday night.
Yep. Another good one was the Fairgrounds Ballroom.
Fairgrounds
and Cy Sacre, they owned both of them for a time, huh?
For a while, yeah. First of all, Cliff, what was his last name? Cliff. I forget his last name.
Okay. Owned the Fairgrounds at that time?
First, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Webb and Cy, they bought it?
They bought it. Yeah. Maybe it was in... Later, 10 years that it was going or something.
Okay. Yeah. That's where we had our char dance, was at the fairgrounds. Yeah. We met at the Coliseum, and a lot of people did the same thing. A lot of good bands played over the years at those ballrooms. Man. And I'm sure you were on the stage there many times too, huh?
Yeah, we played a lot of wedding showers.
Yep.
A lot of wedding dances.
Yep. Well, how many pieces was your band again, Al?
Well, it started out at six.
Six pieces?
Six pieces. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we had sax. We had one trumpet and two sax.
Okay. And you had music written for the band for that?
And a bass horn and drums.
Drums. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And first of all, I wrote all that music up. And then and that was a sad story there, too. And then shortly after that, Jerry Bullingen's house burned down.
Oh.
And he took the music home to practice during the week and stuff.
Oh, my.
So then the trumpet music was all gone.
Oh, in the fire.
So
yeah.
Then we started writing music, and Tim Jarno was playing with us already.
Yeah.
And he says, Al, he says, why don't I use the E-flat concertina for solos all the time?
Yeah.
And he always liked that, you know.
Okay.
He says, why don't we write the music up in E-flat? He says, it's easier to play in everything.
Yeah.
He says, you've been playing all those sharps.
Right.
So then we started writing it up, and that's the way it went from C to E-flat.
And probably still have that library today yet, huh?
Well, he's got it right now.
Oh, he's got it now.
He's using it with the Cold Spring Metalcore band.
Oh, okay, okay,
so
yeah.
So he took a few numbers. He's taking a few numbers out of there.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's Tim Jarno. He's director of the Cold Spring Men Choir, and he was
at the time. I don't think he's anymore. But,
oh, okay.
But he has this little band that they play now, and when they have their German Fest.
Oh yeah. Okay. So those were some of the good players that you had. You mentioned Jerry Blunigan, was
Jerry
it?
Blunigan, yeah.
And Tim Jarno. Who was the sax player?
Johnny Cope.
Oh, okay.
First, yeah.
Okay. Drummer.
Drummer was was Victor Blunigan to start out.
Okay.
Then he went to the servants.
Okay.
Then he dropped the drums off for Melvin Mayer. He says, here, you got to go play with Al.
Okay.
And Melvin came to drum. He said, well, I don't know much about drumming, but he says, I got to come and play with you.
And he's become a good drummer. I've heard him play many times.
One of the better ones
around. Yep, yeah. Who was on tuba?
At that time, I had Andy Miller.
Andy Miller.
From Avon.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So then I had him until he went out working. And then he had to stay away from he worked pretty far out, so he couldn't make the jobs anymore.
Okay.
So then from there on, I cut down to a 5-piece.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I know. I filled in a couple of times I played along Browerville, and I forget where else we went, but those were great memories. I was playing trumpet at the time then, so played second trumpet there. So, yeah. Yeah, fun times, you bet.
So then... And after that, I put a little more bass on my concertina at that time when I was playing. I electrified that thing.
Okay.
And then I played the bass a little louder on it.
Well, you were good friends with Butch Wolf. Butch was a son of Tony and Betty, and Butch was a wheeler and a dealer. He bought and sold a lot of concertinas and instruments, and he was a good guy to know.
Good promoter, yeah.
Yeah, good promoter. And it's just sad that he died so young. We lose all the good ones, it seems like. So young.
Yeah, he went with hunting and fishing, but also quite a bit too old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good guy to know. You bet.
It was fun to be with.
Well, can you believe it? 15 minutes has gone by already, haven't even gotten anywhere yet. So we're going to take a little break here and read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you, if that's all right.
That's great.
All righty. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. Speaking of sausages, the St. Joe Meat Market makes a wide variety of sausages. We start with fresh trimmings, add just the right amount of spices and flavorings to produce some very tasty products. A lot of our recipes go back quite a few years. I was just a youngster, but I can still remember my grandpa, Alling, yes, Al Funenstein Sr., making that good homemade pork sausage. And, of course, then my dad, Junior Funenstein, continued that great tradition of great homemade sausage and passing on those great recipes to us, now the third generation at the St. Joe Meat Market. We still make that homemade bologna, Franks and Wieners, skin-on, and now also skinless. Our ever-popular country-style sausage, available in many forms, fresh, bulk, patties, continuous, or rope-style, breakfast links and brats. We still make the great homemade liver sausage, blood sausage, and head cheese. Dad's recipe for our regular summer sausage continues to be a constant seller. Over the past few years, jerky and snack sticks have risen in popularity with numerous flavors available. At the St. Joe Meat Market, we've had a lot of success with our homemade Braunschweiger, winning numerous awards over the past few years. So you can see why for many years on our invoice, it says, the St. Joe Meat Market, homemade sausage, our specialty. But it does make you wonder, though, what Grandpa would say now when I tell you that you can like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913. Yes, technology has certainly put us in a different world from what our ancestors knew. But one thing that hasn't changed is that great homemade sausage and customer service that you've come to know and appreciate at the St. Joe Meat Market. A big thank you from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. Al, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, you know how it works. We've got the meat package sitting on the counter out there. We'll send that along with you and Marge. Hope that you guys enjoy it in good health. Yes. How's that worked out?
We will. Thank you, Si.
You bet. Great. And great. Thanks to Harvey and Carol and the whole gang over there. They make it possible. So
great
polka music promoters. That comes down from Dad, you know. Dad being the drummer for the Deutschmeisters their first 10 years. He was really proud of it. Well, he didn't get to hear this program. He got out of here before we started this show.
Oh, yeah.
But he was pretty proud that I was working at Chasm. So that he did get to hear for a few years before he left us. So. Yeah. You got to play with him a few times, too, over the years, huh, Al?
Yeah,
he filled in?
Filled in, yep.
Good drummer. He cut the cut the mustard, huh?
He was great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's wonderful. So talk about, are you still an officer in the Musicians Union?
I'm on the board of directors.
On the board of directors, okay. You were, what, treasurer for a number of years?
No.
Just the board of directors.
Board of directors okay. for many years.
Okay. Well, good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And great organization, too.
Yeah.
Keeps everybody in line. That's what it's meant to do.
Yeah, whenever I needed a player, they always called him up, and Bill always had a good player.
Yeah.
Players all could read good and everything, and it was really good.
Yeah, and you're talking about Bill Bach. Bill was president for so many years, and he became handicapped. He was in a wheelchair, but that didn't slow him down. No. He was a great president.
Yep.
And then was it Tom that was vice president, Tom Hislop?
Tom Hislop was for a while, yeah. And then there was, I can't remember them all anymore.
Yeah. Normie Scherer was in there. He's secretary.
He was the secretary.
Yeah.
Another good guy we had was George Avatis.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the board of directors. So.
I still remember those concertina displays. And then in the evening, they'd have Battle of the Bands there at the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
Be the Deutschmeisters and George Savatches. So.
Oh, yeah. George was a great concertina player, too.
He was.
A teacher.
He was.
He taught a lot of them on Melrose.
And he never made a recording. And I talked to him. George and Millie would be up at the Sox Center at the county fair or whatever, and we were there with Chasm. And I told George that one day, I said, George, we should get you in the studio and get you to make a recording. Oh, he said, I'm really not ready yet. He said, there'll be time for that. Well, I think it's a year or two later, he's gone.
It's time but, ran out.
But, you know, that's the great thing about recordings. And you did this just a couple of years ago. Put some of your previous recordings onto a CD.
Yeah.
And I think that is so wonderful because, you know, people like George, good people, we all pass away. Sooner or later, we're all going to go. But the music will live on, you know. You take a lot of the trades, whether it's electricians or plumbers, they're good in their day, but after a while, they're forgotten. You might mention a name and you say, who was that? I don't know. Yeah. But when it comes to music, if you mention Elmer Scheid or Babe Wagner, you can pull up their CD, and that music lives on forever.
Yeah, I was going. I should have brought that book along for all the old bands like and stuff like that.
Yeah.
1936, when I was born, Elmer Scheid was playing with
Babe Wagner.
No, with
Six Fat
Dutchman.
Six Fat Dutchman. Okay. Yeah. Did you know Donnie Klossner?
Oh, that's my idol.
That was your idol. Mine too. Oh, I thought he could play that buttons and bellows like nobody. And he always did, and he had it on the recording. We went to his funeral service last Saturday down in New Ulm, and tremendous turnout. And Rick Keane organized the band, and they had an 8-piece band there, and they played for an hour and a half in honor of Donnie. And, oh, my gosh, I had goosebumps on top of goosebumps. Literally, it just such good music.
Bring that same stuff back in.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel really lucky that we grew up in the era that we did. You guys too?
Oh, yeah.
All those good dance halls. I mean, mention a few of them. New Munich.
I got a whole poster of them.
You got a whole poster of them. Oh, we should look at that.
You want to look at that?
Yeah. It's probably, a page, a couple pages from the Times back in the days?
One page from the Times.
Okay.
Take that around so you can see it there.
Okay. We've got Vanna White coming around here. Okay. So the date on the Times here is Friday, May 8th of 1964.
Yep.
And look at all the articles. So it says here, tomorrow, Saturday, May 9th, Clem Brau Orchestra. Clem Brau, and that was going to be at the fairgrounds. Tonight it says Reinie's Concertina Orchestra. Must have been Reinie Motschke, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that was Friday, and then Saturday, Clem Brau. And then the next, on Wednesday night, they had Wednesday night dances, too. And that was May 13th. It was going to be Dale and Grace, polka stars, recording stars, it says. Dale and Grace. I don't remember them. And then coming up, Myron Lee and the Caddies Orchestra. Some great names from back then. Then there was the Parkway Ballroom in Foley. And I could dance to the fabulous Stingrays, back again from Mr. Lucky's in Minneapolis. So, and then here's the Granite City Coliseum in St. Cloud. Sunday, May 10th, in person, old time, Tony Jamber and his WTCN-TV Polka Jamboree Orchestra.
Yep.
Tony was a good guy, too, huh? You knew him well, too, huh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think his band is still going yet, huh? Rod Serrar?
I don't know, is it?
I haven't heard anything anymore, but I think he's still living.
I haven't heard lately.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just a couple of them there. Then you go down the line here. At the Fun Center in Holdingford, dance on Friday night, May 8th, Battle of Music, Irv's Accordion Band and the Minnesota Dutchman. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Jerry Nutz and the Minnesota Dutchman. And they're back in business again, them young boys, Jerry's boy Rick and Rich Gill, your nephew.
Yes.
They've revived that band, and they recorded a CD, and it's really pretty neat to see that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wish more of that would keep up.
It's still going.
Then there's an article here for the New Munich Dance Hall. Yes, Friday, May 8th, Rock and Roll with Mike Glidden and the Rhythm Kings. And then on Sunday, May 10th, a wedding dance given by Johnson and Reimers, music by the Gil Styles Orchestra. Oh, my gosh. There you go. And it goes on. Pelican Lake Ballroom, shower dance Friday night. Lenny Ed's Fine Modern and Old-Time Band. Then there's the Commodore Club, Three Sons of Rhythm on Saturday night.
That was more modern.
Yep. Here's the Playland Ballroom in Kimball, Saturday, May 9th. And that was Harold Schmidt. Schmitz that owned that. Yeah, my mom's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mom was a Schmitz, and that was a cousin of hers. And the band was going to be on Saturday night, Earl Baker's Orchestra on Saturday the 9th. And then coming up on Tuesday, May 12th, the wedding dance given for Joyce Whitrock of Clearwater and Elvin Doherty of Eden Valley. And get this. Music by the Merrymakers. Did you ever hear of those guys?
Yes.
Oh, you got in on the action too then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty. And Tuesday night dances, huh?
Yep.
Can you imagine that nowadays?
Tuesdays and Thursdays are the big wedding dances.
Yeah.
Those years, you know?
Yeah. I remember mom and dad saying they got married on a Tuesday.
Yes, we did too.
Did you too?
We got married on a Tuesday also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. The wedding dances, I don't think there was any wedding dancing going on Saturdays.
Oh, there wasn't, yeah. Well, and things were more sacred, or the religion was more predominant.
Yes,
with the Catholic thing, you on a Sunday you had to go to church. There was no Saturday night masses, and that's why they did that, I guess. But yeah, more articles here. The Little Rock Pavilion, Dave Willey. On Saturday, May 9th, here's the Moose Lodge with the Harmony Pals on Saturday night. Cold Spring Ballroom, Friday, May 8th, the Ready Man, back by popular request. And then again, on Wednesday night, May 13th, the Merrymakers.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys were busy. And then you're working a full-time job besides yet.
Yeah, and then probably that Saturday, we were probably up at Gutwalls.
Yeah.
It was always Saturdays were always filled.
Oh, that is just so interesting. And now the youngsters, the younger generation, how could you do that?
Yeah.
Those were 9-to-1 dances.
Oh, yeah.
Then you didn't go home right away. You had a drink yet before you got done packing up, and then you went and had a hamburger someplace, get to bed by 3 o'clock, and back to work by, what, 7, 8 o'clock
eight
the next morning?
On the job again.
Yep. And it didn't kill any of us. So, yeah, that is really neat. I thank you guys for bringing that along in. Like Cliff Mitchell used to say, if the folks look in the little brown cloth in their radio, they could see this here. They'd see us. So, looking back, Al, you'd do it all again if you had the chance?
Yeah, it would be great.
It would be huh?
Great, yeah.
What's the status these days? Do you still pick it up once in a while?
No, not really.
Not too much, huh?
My two fingers went haywire and so
you got.
I had them worked on and stuff. I had my elbow worked on. I had the two fingers worked on. And I thought I could get back into it, but
This doesn't want to work. Is that Art and his brother, Ritus? Them guys
two,
got in there?
Two brothers got in there.
Yeah, he got in there.
One wasn't bad enough, but two got in there.
Oh. golly. Yeah.
I gave it up. So then I gave it up. And then once we and the wife retired and stuff, then we started traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we traveled a lot. We were up in Alaska.
Oh, were you?
For 13 days it was.
Okay. Nice.
We had 14 days. It was 7 on land, 7 on sea.
Right.
Oh, okay.
7 land, 7 sea.
Sure.
So that was one of our first trips we made. And then after that, we started traveling around the area and moved down to Branson.
Okay.
A couple times. Yeah.
Sure.
And we were out to the Grand Canyon. And we were to Yellowstone. And we were out to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good. And you know what? You guys are aging gracefully. I mean, it looks so good.
Well,
and that's what, you know, not everybody gets that. But yeah, it's nice if you can retire and enjoy some of the things you're able to get around yet. Yeah. And that's what's important.
Those were bus trips we took. We didn't drive them.
Oh, okay.
Those were bus trips.
Yeah, and we've been on a few, too, bus trips. And that's really a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking about that in just a moment with Jeannie B's Tours. We're about running out of time here, so I usually ask you for a memory. You got a good one here today for us, Al. You've got a lot of experiences over the years. Get stuck in any snowstorms or anything?
Talking about getting stuck, I have to tell you this.
In regards to Betty.
Oh?
In regard to Tony and Betty and Butch Wolf.
Oh, yeah?
And Butch Wolf was the instigator of the whole thing.
Okay.
He called me up, and we were going to go up to Twin Lakes fishing in the wintertime, and he says, Ellie says, I'm going to pick you up at 3 o'clock. We're going to go up there.
In the morning.
Get up there, yep.
In the morning.
We're going to go up to Pinehurst and set up the fish houses, and Tony Betty come to be nice and warm and everything for them.
Okay.
So I said, all right, we'll go. So we get up to Pinehurst up there, and he went right down past the Pinehurst, and he stopped, and he says, I'm going to walk out. It looks like the snow's kind of deep there. I'm going to walk out there and see what it looks like. He walked out, and he comes back. Oh, yeah, he says, I take it. Take a good run, I'll make it. So he backs up and takes a good run at it and gets right in the middle of it. All four wheels turn.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't four-wheel drive then anymore, huh?
Yes, it was. The four-wheel drive, four-wheel spinning, and they usually laid up.
Oh, my gosh.
So here we get out, and we start shoveling it back. And we had a ways to go forwards. He thought it would be easier going backwards.
Oh, okay.
So we start shoveling it back out, you know, and we were about a halfway back out again. And all of us were looking, there's a car coming across the lake. And so we kept shoveling. Didn't take long. Betty yells, are you guys having a problem over there?
They come on from a different way. And
they came on the axis.
Oh, and no problem.
No problem.
Oh.
Drove right on.
I'll bet you that was some joking around for a little while, huh? You should have rode with us.
Yeah. Well, we should have checked it out before we went
before
on.
You flew into it, yeah.
But he thought that would be closed there for sure. So
that's a good story.
So that was Butch for you.
Oh, yeah. And it didn't kill you. That's heart attack material when you get stuck and shoveling, but you survived it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, very good. Well, you know what? We want to thank you guys for coming in again. Very entertaining to talk some old memories and stuff.
Yeah,
and well, like I've told you the last time before, good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road. We'll do it again sometime.
We'll do it again, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. With that, we're going to let you run. Have a great afternoon. And we'll talk to you in just a bit.
All right. Thank you, Si.
You bet. And there they go. Al and Margie Culla, our 537th guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Al Culla and the Merrymakers in just a moment. Thank you. Larry Rezavian is Out of Town Checks wrapping up there. Our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 537th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. We're now at 19 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, temperature reading of 27 degrees here in central Minnesota. Getting our music underway, it is Al and the Merrymakers, and I believe this is maybe a recording that Al did with Tony. Tony on the concertina, Al on the harmonica. It's the Guido Polka. The Merrymakers, and that was actually on the LCD, but that was actually recording. We figured it out. Al and Margie are still sitting here in the studio, and that was Tony Wolf on the concertina, and Al playing the harmonica, and we figured that's probably recorded in 1974. Tony and Betty organized a recording called Deutschmeisters and Friends, and Al was on that. You did what, three numbers, two numbers? Two or three numbers on that? Two of them. I did two of them on there. Andy Stangler was on there. Butch was on there. Arlene Tyson did a couple numbers. There's a bunch of us that, and that was really a nice thing, you know. Tony and Betty, I'll bring you guys back on the air here. Tony and Betty did that out of the goodness of their heart. They said, a lot of you guys are never going to be on a recording. And so, you know, here's an opportunity. Yeah. Like Arlene now, for example, yeah. She played with a band. She played with Bobby, her husband, there for a number of years, but didn't get the opportunity to record. And so it was a free chance, and we got a couple of albums for being on it, and we got to feature us, you know, play a couple songs there. I know I did the Strymon's Waltz, and I did the Flutophone Polka. You did Schneider?
Schneider and Els
Landler. Els Landler, and then, of course, with Tony on this one here. So, yeah, it was a real opportunity. It was really nice of them to do that.
That was great. That's,
yeah.
Really, nobody else would ever think of it, really.
No.
She was.
Betty
did. She taught a lot of the students.
Oh, she did. Yeah. Very proud of them. Well, here's Al with the Merrymakers, and this is you on the concertina, the Schneider Polka, huh?
Yep.
All righty. Thank you. Moneymaker's The Schneider Polka. And that was always my dad's favorite song. He loved the Schneider Polka, and Al did a nice job on that one. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting me information once again and starts out saying, if you are thinking about where you would like to go or what fun adventure you would want to book this year, call Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 and request their fun-filled 2025 tour schedule. You can meet with Jeannie B on Wednesday morning this week at Jill's Cafe in Richmond from 9 till 11:30 or at Sal's Bar and Grill in St. Joe from 1 until 3:30. See the slide presentations for fly-out extended tours like Germany, Alaska, New York, Canadian Rockies, Panama Canal cruise, Danube River cruise, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Colors of New England. Enjoy treats and door prizes and see where you might want to go in 2025. Then on Thursday this week, have a roll and coffee at Tutti Frutti's Kitchen in Sauk Center, Minnesota from 9 until 10:30 or the Travelers Inn in Alexandria from 1:30 until 2:30. On Friday the 31st, Jeannie B's staff will answer questions and have schedules available at Perkins in St. Cloud at the Crossroads location from 1 until 2. Invite your traveling family and friends to join you for one of these this week's Jeannie B's Tours Meets and Greets. Visit and gather tour information by stopping by Jeannie B's office in Freeport Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, 9 till 2, or call 320-345-1581. Now is the time to reserve your seats on the many 2025 tours planned for you. And Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. And that is for you from Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. A fun traveling agency. You will, guaranteed, you'll have a great time when you, and you'll be, your appetite will be satisfied because she makes the best cookies and bars and banana bread and cranberry bread. Oh, my goodness. It just doesn't end. You'll have a great time. Jeannie B's Tours, bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 28 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, 28, our temperature here in Albany. Here's Al and the Merrymakers. It's a great old-time waltz, a standard one called the Lakeside Waltz. Thank you. Al Call on the Merrymakers, a nice concertina solo there with the Lakeside Waltz. And Al telling me that that was Stradivarius E-flat concertina, and it had the electronics on it. So it was actually only two guys playing, a drummer and you on the concertina, but you had the electronics live there. So you had the piano and the bass in there. So it made it sound like a four-piece band.
Well, it improves it.
Yeah, and the thing was, as time went by, as the economy changed, and the establishments didn't want to pay for all the members, you had to charge a lot for a big band, so then you would get by the one-man, two-band bands, piece bands, and you could charge less and put out the sound of a bigger band.
You play more like the clubs and stuff. There were smaller ballrooms. And
right, you didn't have room.
Smaller stage and everything. Right. With it, you probably know.
Right, right.
You didn't have any place to set your drums.
Oh, yeah. You were lucky if you got the drums in the corner. Everybody else was on the floor.
Right.
Well, it's old-time polka time now. Al and the Merrymakers with the clarinet polka. Polka there with Al and the Merrymakers. 26 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. Time for just a couple more selections. Here they are, Al and the Merrymakers with a nice polka tune, the Up and Down Polka. And we should have given credit to the clarinet player on that clarinet polka. That was Tim Jarno. There you go. Thank you. And there you have it, the Up and Down Polka. Some good old numbers there with Al and the Merrymakers. Well, that clock on the wall on a Sunday afternoon just never stands still. We're at 23 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're going to do that with a nice old-time Landler, and Al's still here, sitting here. Al, you said you kind of arranged this one yourself. You'd play a set of waltzes, and people would want a fourth number.
Yep.
And so then you'd usually do a concertina solo.
Yep.
And this is what came out of the concertina,
yeah,
huh?
That's what it worked into, yeah.
Yeah. And over the years, different ones, Lee and Helget, and different ones called and asked for your permission to record the same number that you kind of wrote and composed, huh?
Right.
There you go. It's going to be one called Al's Landler, Al Kalla on the concertina. Landler, Al Kalla and the Merrymakers, and wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. That takes us 20 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Temperature reading at 28 degrees here in central Minnesota.